So if you can keep Romans 5 open, I'll pray through that. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, I pray that you might enable us not to be distracted by anything, but to hear the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, to see his incredible grace, and help us to rejoice in him. Amen. It may sound a little bit macabre, but the image of Revelation chapter 20 is one I love. In Revelation chapter 20, there's this image of Satan and his army surrounding the people of God. And it looks like the people of God are going to be destroyed. And then fire from heaven falls down and just burns them up. And it's over before it even starts. It's horrifying at one level, but it reminds me of the might of God. It reminds me that we have a very powerful God who's able to rescue his people. It encourages me to keep my hope in the one who can give me eternal life. It encourages me to keep going in Christ. When I see people of this world shaking their fists at God in defiance, you know, when they deny him, when they exchange the truth of God for a lie, this image reminds me that there is a God who has all the power. And that we can't hurt God by these things any more than I could hurt a thunderstorm with a stick. God is above those things. But when I look at Revelation 20, conscious of my own sin, it's different, isn't it? When I'm feeling overwhelmed by my own sinfulness and I think of the image of judgment and think that's what I deserve, then it can be a horrifying thing. And in many ways, Romans 1 to 3 is all about that. Paul goes to great lengths in Romans 1 to 3 to make sure that we know that none of us are righteous, none of us can be declared righteous by our works. All of us without Christ are under God's wrath. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's an important word in our day. You know, we live in a time and place where good is called evil is called good, and we keep affirming that people are basically good despite all the evidence to the contrary. And that God sees through that. And I think one of the most uncomfortable things about the Bible is that God shows us who we really are. As Romans 3:10 reminds us, there is no one righteous, not even one. Now, of course, if that were the whole story of the Bible, it would be the most miserable book in the world, wouldn't it? Hey, let me tell you the story of you. You are a sinner. You deserve God's judgment. Have a nice day. Right? That would be the most miserable book. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus Christ is very good news. Last week from chapter 3, verses 21 to 26, Dan unpacked for us the righteousness of God given as a gift to us through Jesus Christ to all who believe. In other words, even though we are guilty, there is a way in which God can declare us not just innocent, but actually righteous. And think about that. You're guilty of a crime. You're not just declared innocent, but actually declared to be righteous, declared to be doing the right thing. That is extraordinary. Through faith in Jesus Christ. And friends, that's the heart of the Christian message, isn't it? That we are declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not good people go to heaven or anything like that. But there is a way that God can rightly declare the guilty to be righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. See, God is not the mate who puts his arm around your shoulder and says, "Ah, don't worry about your sin, it's fine." God is not like that. He is the righteous judge. He judges, he condemns sin. But there is a way through Jesus Christ that you and I can be declared to be righteous. And so today I want to achieve two things. I'm hoping today that you might see how utterly lost and hopeless you are without Christ. That without Christ, you are in a terrible place. But with Christ, you are righteous. And great grace comes to you through him. That's what I hope to achieve today. Well, in Romans 5, verses 1 to 2, we see some of these blessings. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Well, let me paint this picture for you. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. There is no hostility between you and God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God welcomes you, adores you without the but. You know how we work, right? You know, someone may say, what's Jim's like? You might say, oh, Jim's okay, but. Or, hey, kids, you did a good job, but. There's no but. God adores you. You are at peace with him through Jesus Christ. Not just absence of conflict, but the warm, positive peace. No ifs, no buts, no grudges. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And through faith in Jesus Christ, you stand in grace. You stand in a state of undeserved favor. You've been declared righteous. You've been welcomed, embraced, and honored in the presence of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we're brought into his family. We are adopted by him. And that is one of the most extraordinary truths of the Bible, that God would look at you and me and say, I want you as my child. I'm going to adopt you as my child, and I'm going to pour my love out on you. I've got an image on the screen of a guy called Ben Quashy. Ben Quashy is a Nigerian bishop. He's the secretary for GAFCON. I'll talk about GAFCON a bit later. He's a man who's been profoundly moved by the gospel of God. Ben and his wife, Gloria, who you can kind of see in the middle of that picture, they've adopted more than 50 orphans. So in Nigeria, there's plenty of war going on, and they pick up all the orphans. You can just picture, you know, Gloria, you brought home another one. You know, you can just picture what life must be like at their dinner table. They've got more than 50 orphans living with them at the moment. They've put more than, 400 children through school. They've even now built a medical centre. Because there's so many kids, they need a medical centre full-time to look after them. Why would they do that? Because the grace of God. Ben understands that he's been adopted as a child of God by grace. And he pours that grace out on others. Extraordinary. And friends, that's how God treats us. God takes us in like orphans and says, I've decided I'm going to love you. I'm going to put my love on you and bless you. And so through faith in Jesus Christ, we boast. Older versions say rejoice, but rejoice is not the right word, it's boast. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Because we are declared righteous by God, we can boast in him and in his glory. Now, you may remember last year's Tokyo Olympics, this man, Dean Boxall, and his reaction when Ariane Titmus won the 400-meter freestyle.
Looks sort of like Doc Brown. I mean, he is going crazy. Oh, my goodness.
He basically went berserk, right? Why did he do that? I always remember looking at the image of the poor Japanese girl in the background. She looked like, am I about to be killed here? Right? He just went totally berserk. Why was he so excited? He boasted in the glory of Ariane Titmus. As her coach, she won the event and he just boasted in that glory, didn't he? He enjoyed that glory with her. Friends, that's what we do in God. We boast in God's glory. We who are declared righteous by God boast in his glory. All that's ours through faith in Jesus Christ. But there is one curious thing. It looks like a bit of a fly in the ointment from verse 3. We've seen that. Thank you. Not only that, but we boast in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. The hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. You know, no one likes affliction. Or if you do like affliction, you ought to go and see someone about that, right? No one really likes affliction. Paul didn't like affliction. What's he saying here? He's saying, my righteousness by faith is so good that I can boast in my afflictions. Because I'm declared righteous by faith in God, even when I am afflicted, what happens? I stand in Christ, I endure. And as I endure, my character is built. And as my character is built, it's refined through testing. I grow in hope. And the hope that I have in Jesus Christ will never disappoint, because God's Holy Spirit keeps confirming his love. So what's Paul saying? Even if I'm persecuted, even if I must be afflicted, God's going to use it for good. I'm going to grow in hope. So even afflictions, God can use for good. You see, I can tell anyone that God loves them. I can say to anyone, yeah, God loves you. But for those of you who are in Christ, Christians, you have peace with God. You are in a state of grace. You can boast in his glory. You can even boast in affliction. All of that is yours, Christian, by faith in Jesus Christ and because you're declared righteous in him. And so for the same reason, if you're not yet a Christian, you're visiting us today, I'm glad to have you with us. You're very welcome here, but that needs to change. If there's something you're not sure about, investigate it. If there's something you worry about, check it out. But don't walk out of here outside of God's grace. Don't grow up, don't live your life as an enemy of God without any greater hope than finding the right person, paying off a mortgage, watching your kids grow up and go on holidays. Don't let that be your whole hope for your life. Jesus Christ is very good news. And friends, we're only up to verse 5. But as good as this news is, Paul says, but wait, there's more. He wants to show us that everything Christ has achieved points to how much more is still to be done and how much will come. Now, I'm not going to put these verses up on the screen, so you might need to follow along in your Bible. But verse 6, while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, sometimes we like to think that we're pretty good. I'm pretty good. I kind of try and serve God and do the right thing. Well, I'm corrected here, aren't I? I haven't earned any favour. I'm ungodly. Christ didn't die for good people. He died for the ungodly. And verse 8, God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Do you see the picture? Helpless, sinners, enemies. That's a state in which God found us. And he proved his love for us in the death of his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the ungodly, the sinner, the enemy of God. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus, who took that wrath for our sin and in return gave us the gift of righteousness, reconciling us to God. You know, sometimes I have conversations with people that say, I don't think I could really ever follow a wrathful God, a God who gets angry. And so what do? Well, they invent their own God. I don't think God would be angry. And so they invent a God. And what is that God like? Well, that God turns out, 100% of the time, to be someone who thinks that person's okay the way they are. Right? I invent my own God, and that God is happy with me the way I am. And what's the problem? It's chapter 1. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. And what's the result? Wrath. That's the sad thing about it. In their desire to say, I can't follow a God who's ever wrathful, they come under the wrath of God. To escape the wrath of God, they follow a God of their own imaginations and come under the wrath they can't accept. But through faith in Jesus Christ, that's not us, is it? Through faith in Jesus Christ, that is not who we are. And this is what it means by faith. Faith is trusting the gracious promises of God, particularly in this case, that Jesus Christ died the death that we deserve to pay the debt that we couldn't afford to reconcile us to God. Faith is trusting that Jesus has changed us from ungodly sinner enemy into at peace, in grace, and boasting in the hope of the glory of God. You are now reconciled to him. Everything has changed through the death of Jesus Christ. Well, that should be enough, but there's still more. Verse 9. How much more? How much more then, since you've been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? And verse 10. How much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? You see Paul's argument? If Jesus Christ has done all the, if he's taken the ungodly, the enemy, the sinner, and made them at peace, in grace, boasting in the hope of the glory of God, then how much more will he save us from God's wrath? If he's accomplished all of that, how easy is it going to be? It's like a piece of cake to finish that off. He's done all this is guaranteed. If Christ has done everything on the left side of the screen by his death and resurrection, how much more will he do everything on the right? If he can make the ungodly righteous, then saving us from God's wrath is a piece of cake. That's his point. And so the conclusion, we boast. Not in ourselves. We boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received this reconciliation. And friends, that's something worth boasting in, isn't it? The God who says, I'll pick on you, Ward. Thank you, brother. The God who says, Ward, you are righteous in Christ. Thank you, Lord, indeed. That is what we boast in. The God who's made us righteous. The God who's reconciled us. The God who makes the ungodly, sinner, enemy righteous. Now think about this for a moment. That moment when you sin. That moment when you're deeply ashamed. You feel far from God. You feel like a fraud. What does this verse say to us in that moment? Christian, you are at peace with God. You're reconciled with him. Even in that moment, even in your lowest moment, see, through faith in Christ, you are righteous. You are at peace. You're reconciled to him. How does that work? Well, your relationship with God, it's not shaky. It's not held in place by you. It's held in place by him. If it was held in place by us, we'd be in all sorts of trouble, wouldn't we? But it's held in place by him. You are righteous. You are at peace with God through Jesus Christ. And so I want you to say this verse with me. Let's say it together. And not only that, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. All right, Q&A. What have we received from God? Reconciliation through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? We boast in him, don't we? Boast in the one who reconciles us. Well done. You give yourselves a gold star. I didn't bring any. All of that is yours in Christ Jesus. Now let's imagine, and I'm not inviting anyone to do this, by the way, but let's imagine right now someone stood up and said, Jim, I know all about you. I know your past. And they revealed everything I never wanted you to know. All the deep, shameful hurts from my history. What could I say? Well, you don't know half of it, right? But I can boast because in Jesus Christ, I am reconciled to him. I'm at peace with God through him. I can boast even in my weakness because of his strength. I stand in a state of grace, and so I will boast in God through whom I stand. Well, friends, that's the first 11 verses. I'm now going to tell you the same thing again, but in picture form. Okay, the second half of Romans 5, I'm going to tell you in picture form, starting at verse 12. And by the way, most of it's going to be pictures, not so if you want to have your Bibles open, that's helpful. Verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned. Friends, there's the story of humanity, right? Adam sinned in the garden. That sin resulted in death, and death spread to all humanity. And worse, everyone sinned. That's our story. Adam sinned along with every person who's ever lived. And as a result, we became enemies of God. That's why I've got the kind of military picture there, right? Enemies of God. And the result of our guilt is death. So verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression. Right, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. We die. Okay, I hope I haven't ruined the end for anyone. Right, we die. That's what happens. The observable human condition is that we die. But, and this one I'll put on the screen, verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if by the one man's trespass the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift which comes through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many? The sin of the one man, Adam, brought condemnation. Sin is that powerful. It is that offensive to God. The one sin of the one man condemns us. But it's worse than that, isn't it? Because we've all sinned. And so we have this multiplication, this compounding of sin. And the result of that is death. But how much more is the argument, isn't it? But how much more have the grace of God and the gift which comes through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many? It overflows. I love that word. The flood of God's grace comes up against the wall of my sin and crash. It breaks through. It overflows. That the flow of God's grace comes up against the wall of your sin and crash. Breaks through and grace overflows. You and I are now flooded, floating away in a sea of grace. And I'll read on from verse 16. And the gift is not like one man's sin, because from one sin came the judgment, resulting in condemnation, but from many trespasses came the gift, resulting in justification. If by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? You know, some of you may have a tender conscience. Some of you may go, Jim, you don't know my sin. And that's true. But here's the thing. Perhaps you've done something so troubling that you just can't forgive yourself. What do I want you to hear today? Imagine all of your sin is a defensive wall. And I link arms with you. My sin's next to you. And we all link arms. All of our sin forms this great defensive wall. What does God's grace do? It just smashes through the wall. It just breaks it down. His grace is much, much bigger than your sin. It's like a tsunami. It smashes through. It overflows. The grace that comes through the one man, Jesus Christ, is enough for the sins of the whole world. His grace justifies you. His grace grants you eternal life. His grace declares you not just forgiven, though that would be great to be just forgiven, but better, you're righteous, without fault. Now, of course, there are people in the room with the opposite concern. I know God can forgive me, but what about a pedophile? What about a rapist? What about a child abuser, a murderer? Can God forgive people like that? Well, the answer has to be yes. It has to be that the grace of God overflows whatever you've done. Whatever is in your past, whatever brings you shame, it overflows that. And if you're offended right now, if you're sitting there offended going, how dare you say that? Then, friends, I want to put it to you that you have not yet grasped how desperately you need the grace of God yourself. How desperate is our condition without Jesus Christ? Your sin is so offensive to God that without Jesus, you are his enemy. But by the gift of grace that comes through Jesus Christ, you are reconciled to God. Let me finish by reading verses 18 to 21. So then, as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The law came along to multiply the trespass. But where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did Jesus achieve on that cross? Well, through faith in him and in his death in our place, we, the many, receive the grace of God. We receive the gift of righteousness, and we receive the gift of eternal life. And friends, that's why Jesus is such very good news. So I'm going to close in prayer and give thanks to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that through Jesus Christ we are at peace with you. We are reconciled. We stand in a state of grace. And we have the hope of everlasting life. Keep us in Christ. Keep us trusting in him and help us to stand up even when it's hard, that we might take hold of the prize to which you've called us heavenward in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.